All right, so my apologies for the distraction, but we're going to pick it up singing Psalm 84, verses 1 through 12. And on the second part of verse 10, notice what it says. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in tents of sin, and all the honors and pleasures and recognition and glory that might come with that. I'd rather just open the door for people and say, come on in. In fact, what happens when we enter a door? We might say hello to the person watching the door, especially an usher in church, but generally, we don't think too much about them because we're getting into worship. We might be thinking more about others, the pastor, leaders, in other ways. And the doorkeeper is just a simple, humble job, but he says, I'd rather do that than be in glorious positions elsewhere. Like it says in Hebrews 11, Moses gave up the glory and riches of Egypt to serve God's people. So Jesus is going to call us again tonight. Jesus was going to call us again tonight to be humble, to serve humbly, and not be like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they want everybody to see them. That's really the big thing he's criticizing tonight. He talks about hypocrisy, but next time he's going to really get into hypocrisy. Tonight he's going to focus on they just want to be seen. They want to be glorified and honored. They want to be recognized and have people talk about them. Hypocrisy is involved in that, but the bigger problem is I don't really care about whether God's in me or I'm loving God. I just want everybody to think that. I want everybody to say great things about me. And we don't want to be like that. We don't want to seek attention for ourselves serving Jesus. We just want to be serving Jesus quietly. And we're just there to praise him for that's the only reason. Let's sing how lovely it is to be in God's house worshiping him, and how we're happy to just fade into the doors and the walls and be the temple with God being the glory in our midst. Da 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 da. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. How pleasant, Lord, they be. My thirsty soul longs vehemently, yea, faints thy courts to see. My very heart and flesh cry out, O living God, for thee. Behold, the swallow findeth out an house wherein to rest. The swallow also for herself hath purchased a nest. E'en thine own altars where she safe her young ones forth may bring. O thou almighty Lord of hosts, who art my God and King, blessed are they that dwell. They ever give thee praise. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, in whose heart are thy ways. Who passing through Rebecca's veil, therein do dig up wells. Also the rain that falleth down, the pools with water fills. So they from strength unwearied go, still forward unto stray, until in Zion they appear before the Lord and lay. Lord God of hosts, my prayer hear. O Jacob's God, give ear. See God our shield, look on the face of thine anointed dear. For in thy courts one day excels a thousand rather in. My God's house will I keep a door, then dwell in tents of sin. For God the Lord, the sun and shield, will grace and glory give, and will withhold no good from them that uprightly do live. O thou that art the Lord of hosts, that man is truly blessed, who by assured confidence on thee alone doth rest.
Amen. Before we continue, and sorry for the distraction again, I noticed a message that came up on Rachel's phone. I'm using her phone now, so if you have any texts you want to send to alert us if something's not working, please text Olivia's phone down. Olivia, keep your phone going and look at the internet. Make sure it's working, but see if any texts come into Olivia now if you need to alert us that something's not working properly, because I may not necessarily notice it or I may not want to interrupt. Please text Olivia if you need to reach us. Okay, let's go back to our scriptures now. Let's look to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, reading through the New Testament in the evening. We actually complete it this evening. I had it in the bulletin going through verse 19 following Matthew Henry's commentary, but as I look at our lecture series through tonight, I should really do this beforehand. I want to follow how we did it, and we just completed the text. So I'm going to do that, and so we're going to finish Revelation, and then we'll start reading Matthew again next week and go through the New Testament together again. Revelation 22, verses 6 through 21. And we'll read responsively as we complete the Revelation and as we complete the last book of the Bible. Hear now the word of the Lord. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Well, the message for this section as we closed the Revelation in our lecture series a few years ago was this, really be ready. Really be ready. It says the time is at hand in the text tonight. We are in between the first and second coming of Christ. Remember in the Gospels he says, watch, you do not know when I will return. He says, behold, I come quickly. And he says, and then we say, the church says in return, surely, he says again in verse 20, I come quickly, surely. And we know that it may seem like it's a long time for Christ to return, but as it relates to the reality of eternity and as it relates to all the different things of history, it's just a short time that we're waiting, and we don't know when it might be. We don't know when it might be. So we need to be ready. We need to be ready for Christ to return at any moment. Really be ready. Not just kind of sort of going through the motions, but really be ready. This is the close of the last book of the Bible. He is coming quickly. The time is at hand. Be ready for his return. Really be ready. And don't forget all the glorious things we saw in the last two chapters. This and the last one of how amazing it will be when Jesus does bring us into the new heavens and the new earth. Let us pray. O Lord God in heaven, help us to really be ready, watching daily at the gates, at the courts of your door. Lord, at the posts of your door, help us to be watching, having our lamps trimmed and burning. Help us to be looking, recognizing the time, just as we recognize the weather. Let us know that you are coming soon for your people. We pray, O Lord Jesus Christ, that you will have us ready for your return. That we won't be found sleeping, that we won't be found in want because we have not taken you seriously. O Lord God, we pray that you will bless us now
that you will help us and that you will guide us and strengthen us. We pray, Lord, as we hear your word tonight, that we will be prepared for your return and that we will be preparing ourselves for it as your humble servants, not looking to be seen, not looking to get any attention, simply looking to give you all the glory. Lord, let us be dead to ourselves and alive in Christ, and let us be living to serve you. Forgive us for how much attention we want to draw to ourselves. Let us bow and die to ourselves and lift up all attention to you this evening. The day star, the root of David. Oh Lord, we do thank you, offspring of David and Son of God, that you are the Messiah, the mediator between we and Lord God, the Father, and that you have brought us into reconciliation and a relationship with him through your blood, your everlasting priesthood, and your resurrection life. We do thank you that you have made us children of God, that you have confirmed and sealed our salvation and our life with God everlasting. Lord, let us live your abundant life you give us on this earth more joyfully as we wait. Teach us contentment through the strength of Jesus Christ. And prepare our hearts, O Lord, Holy Spirit, let every ear and heart listening now, wherever they are, be ready to receive what the Spirit has to say. We always need to be reminded to be more humble, to be less selfish, and to be less hypocritical and fake. We always need to be reminded to serve for the right reasons, and that is for Christ and others and not ourselves. So, Lord, humble us further tonight with this fairly regularly repeated idea as you give it to us tonight in contrast to what we see of the Pharisees. And let us remember as we hear your words, you were saying them as you were just about to offer yourself up as a sacrifice on the cross for our lives, letting yourself be killed so that we can live. So, Lord, let us live for you now by dying to ourselves. Guide us in our worship. Touch each of the hearts listening. Strengthen your people. Protect us from disease, but protect us particularly from sin. And lift us up, O Lord, in your righteousness for your glory. Let us hear your voice, O great shepherd of the sheep. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, beloved, let us turn now to page 297 in the Psalter. Page 297, Psalm 131. Page 297, Psalm 131. We've come here many times recently to sing this. Why? Because many times recently in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has been telling us to be humble servants. And frankly, beloved, that's something you and I have a hard time being. So he's constantly reminding us to be humble. And I want you to look at verse 1 with me. David says, "My heart is not haughty." What he's saying is, I don't have a proud heart. I don't want attention for myself. My eyes are not lofty. I'm not looking up to big and glorious things for myself. Then he says, I don't deal myself with great matters or things too high for me. He says, I'm just a humble servant. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't study and want to learn and grow in wisdom. But, you know, there's plenty of things that are just too big and over our heads, and that's okay. I just want to serve the Lord well. And I don't want to be looking for attention for myself. I want to be of a quiet spirit. He says, like a weaned child. A child who is weaned means they're not nursing anymore, and so they become very able to be quiet because they know how to satisfy themselves and to be quiet and comfortable. When a child is still nursing, they're still very needy for their mother, and so they can be very upset and frustrated and distracting and drawing attention to themselves when they want what they want. But when they're able to comfort themselves, eat for themselves, take care of themselves, they're quiet and they don't draw attention to themselves anymore. And David is saying, that's what I'm like. I just want to be quiet. I don't want to complain. I don't want to draw attention to myself. I don't want to try to get a lot of glory. I just want to be simple and humble. And may the Lord help us to have these same words on our heart, because David was said to be a man after God's heart. Da 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 da. My heart not haughty is, O Lord. My
rise not lofty be, nor do I deal in matters great or things too high for me. Verse 2. I surely have myself behaved with quiet spirit and mild. A child of mother weaned, my soul is like a weaned child. Upon the Lord let all the hope of Israel rely. Even from the time that present is unto eternity.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles back to the Gospel of Matthew. And we begin with chapter 23 now. We completed chapter 22 this morning. Now we open up to Matthew chapter 23. And we're going to be looking at the first 12 verses. The chapter really is a complete section. It's a one complete sermon, I believe, from Jesus. But we're going to look at its parts over the next few weeks. We're going to look at the first part tonight. The first few verses kind of introduce the whole. We might revisit them in weeks to come. But verses, I think it's basically 2 or 3 through 12 is the main focus we have tonight. Hear now the word of the Lord as we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Again, chapter 23 is one sermon with three sections, and we study the first section this evening. Now, Jesus just got done warning the Pharisees about himself in what we saw at the end of chapter 22. Jesus just got done warning the Pharisees, I am God, and you to take me seriously. Now he turns to the people, the multitude, and he turns to his disciples, and he warns the people about the Pharisees. The Pharisees, we remember, and we'll see again, especially as we continue in chapter 23, the Pharisees are God's enemies. This first section of chapter 23 warns Christians not to be like what we see of the Pharisees. They have all show like actors, but no spirit, no substance within them. Christ's disciples should not be hypocrites, only seeking to be seen and saluted in their service. I give that to you as the main idea of the text this evening. Christ's disciples should not be hypocrites, only seeking to be seen and saluted in their service. In verses 1 to 2, Jesus is essentially saying, we need to salute the uniform. You know, there's that phrase, we need to salute the uniform, where
You know, we honor the office. We honor what the uniform represents, the office, whether it's in government or a church. We honor the authority. We don't necessarily recognize the person that is filling the uniform well, but we do honor the uniform. Jesus is essentially saying that so long as ministers are sitting in Moses' seat, that is correctly in the synagogues, and there was a place to sit to teach, teaching God's law, if they're correctly teaching God's law from Moses in the synagogues, we are to follow their instructions even if they aren't really living it. That's a warning for us. Sometimes if leaders are not living out the word properly, even if they're teaching it right, we think that gives us an excuse not to live properly, but there's no excuse. Jesus says, live out God's law as they teach it, but we are not to live like them. We're not to be like them because they teach the law, but they don't love it and they don't live it. They are just making a show with no substance. They're looking not to truly be servants. They just want to be perceived as superior celebrities. In contrast to them, Jesus teaches that his disciples are to serve silently and secretly. That's the message of this text I present to you this evening. Serve silently and secretly. Now that's a real challenge for we who live in social media and the selfie world, posting look at me's and how wonderful I am when really we're doing very little in real life. Or like some who hand out business cards with lots of DDs and MTSs and THDs and PhDs after a comma after their name, looking to seem extremely educated as experts while having very little life experience and ministerial experience. But they want all the glory from such things. Or we can think about, especially with this text, the Catholic priests who parade in all kinds of ornamentation, garments, pomp and circumstance, drawing attention to themselves, often living evil lives. You can think about how Martin Luther, the reformer, when he went to Rome for the first time, he went on a long journey from Germany, he was horrified with what he saw in Rome. He thought it was going to be an incredible spiritual experience, because they looked to Rome as kind of the seat of the Christian religion. And the Pope and all the high and mighty priests and different religious leaders were there in all their glorious robes and honor and authority. But they were living sinful, horribly sinful lives. It wasn't real. They just kind of looked the part with how they dressed and the dance that they danced. But they weren't really living a holy life. And they didn't have any intention to. Verse 3 says they're hypocrites. Again, hypocrites, the word in the Greek means an actor, a person who puts on a mask and pretends like they're on stage in a play to be something they're not. They don't even intend to be that. They just want to pretend that they are. They don't walk the talk. Again, pretending to be something they're not. The Pharisees, they like the wardrobe, they like the cloak, but they don't like the lifestyle. They don't want to live what's supposed to be beneath it and under it. And why? They just want to be seen and celebrated as if they were holy. And that's verses 5 to 7. Jesus gives us examples and illustrations of why don't be like the Pharisees. They just want to be seen and celebrated as if they're so important, but they don't really care to be holy. They don't really care to be killing and dying to themselves to live for Christ more and more. So they just are looking to be seen. They want everybody to look at them and tell them how great they are. And this is what Jesus says you are not to be like. Look at verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now again, it's right there in the front. This is the big issue. They just want everyone to look at them. They want everybody to look at them and think, wow, aren't they great? It's not an issue of struggling to be consistent. No, they have no intention of being good. They just want to look good. Two examples Jesus gives of this problem. Broadening their phylacteries. What were phylacteries? They were these leather pouches with scrolls of certain Bible verses in them that they were supposed to keep close to them and remember and meditate on and pray over. They had two strings on these leather pouches. One would go to their head, and one would go to their left arm, I would say kind of over the heart, while they were in times of prayer, when they went to prayer times. It was kind of to represent, to keep the scriptures always before them. They probably wore them all the time instead of just during prayer time. That's maybe what the broadening means. But maybe they also did enlarge, and maybe they made them bigger and bigger, and the strings bigger and bigger to just draw attention. Look at me, look at me, look how holy I am. And they probably made something literal that was only meant to be figurative. Per Exodus 13, 9 and 16, Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 8 and 11, verse 18, and some Proverbs that say, keep the Lord's work always like frontlets before your eyes. Keep them always in front of you, guiding you. And they just take this literally, and they make this thing and keep it in front of them, you know. But they don't actually have any intention of doing it. But they want everybody to say, wow, look how holy they are. Look how holy they are with these phylacteries. They want everybody to pay attention to them. A.W. Argyle said this phylactery, they made it more of an amulet. That means it didn't actually become some holy thing to help them pray. It became this big necklace, this big jewel. Look at me. Everyone, look at how holy I am as I go into church as it swings around, right? That's the problem. They want to be seen. They also enlarged the borders of the fringes of their garments. What's that talking about? Numbers chapter 15, verse 39. God did say this, have these shawls kinds of a thing with fringes of string on it that would remind you of the Lord and serving him. But they made them much longer. There was no commandment about how long the fringes on their garments had to be. But they made them longer and they made them bigger because they wanted everyone to look at them and see, oh, well, they must be really holy because they got, like, you think of some people wear these big, huge crosses on their neck. We would say that's idolatry anywhere, but, you know, people wear all the big religious stuff and want people to look at them. So they would enlarge the fringes on their tassels and want everybody to be looking at them thinking they must be really holy. It was all a show. It was all to be seen. It was all a costume of fake contrition. They made them larger than they needed to help them remember. They made them bigger than their eyes needed. They wanted them to draw attention of everyone else's eyes and make everybody notice them and think they are super religious. Verse 6, look at verse 6 with me. And they loved the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. You see, they love to be in the front row. They want to walk, you know what I mean? They're never going to sit in the back. Who's going to see them there? Right? They want to walk all the way up to the front like it's a wedding, and then their parents at the wedding, they want to sit right in the front and have people look at them from behind. Everyone see they're there and that they're in a place that looks like extra attention. They want people to admire them. Verse 7. And they love greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. They love to have people stop them in public and treat them like royalty. Oh, hi, so good to see you. Could you tell me this? Could you answer this question? They love to get the attention. But it's all for show. They're not in it to serve, truly, but to be seen. Charles Spurgeon puts it this way. They only cared about how they looked in the eyes of the people, not about how they looked in the eyes of God. And God looks upon the heart. And God looks upon what we do. Spurgeon also says they made the word prominent outwardly while it was not written in their heart to obey. Let's look at verse 3, the second part. Well, let's read all verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They say and they do not. Now look at verses 8 through 12 with me. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Verse 10, by the way, when it says don't be called master, We're told by a commentator that the modern Greek word means professor. Oh, I want to be called doctor. I want to be called this or that, a title. And Jesus is saying here, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't look to be called master. Don't look to be called father. Christ is your master. Christ is your rabbi. God is your father. Now, we know that there are places where we can call our earthly father, father. There's a place in the New Testament where they address in a council fathers and brethren, so there's an appropriate place. But what's he saying? Don't be like the Pharisees. They want everybody to say all these titles about them and make them see they're so high and above us. Don't seek purely academic attention. Don't seek out recognition and how you might appear to men. It's not so much an issue of wanting to honor others. It's more an issue of not seeking your own glory. Don't seek titles to exalt yourself. Don't reach for rank. Let your qualification be your humble, honest, sincere service. Don't show and tell. Nobody needs to know what you just did for someone, and nobody needs to know what they said to you thanking you for it. If you seek to tell others about that, as we'll see later, you've already got your reward, Jesus says. Let your qualification be your own humble service before God. Be private. William Hendrickson says this, Jesus is teaching that vanity is punished. Look at me and what I'm doing is punished, whereas humility is rewarded. I don't need anybody to know, because it's not about me. Hendrickson goes on to say, the vice of pomposity is contrasted with the virtue of humility. Let me say that again. The vice of pomposity is being contrasted with the virtue of humility. Don't merely display Bible verse artwork on your walls at home while you walk right by them and ignore them in your lives. Hide those scriptures truly in your heart, that you would live them, that you would not sin against them, and that your lives would truly have substance of Christ in you. As Paul says, if you're going to glory anyone, glory in the Lord. Recognize this is simply what he has done in me. As Jesus says, don't worry about being thanked for your service. Just be thankful to be a servant of Christ who is simply doing your duty. Jesus earlier warns Christians in the Gospel of Matthew not to seek to be seen for being religious and rewarded by men instead of by God. Don't do things of a religious nature, even if they're the right things to do, so that people will see you and say things about you. That's the big problem he's addressing tonight with the Pharisees. They just want to be seen. Look with me back to chapter 6 in Matthew. Let's go back to chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 1 through 8 to begin with. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. So hear this as Christ applying of what he is saying here tonight. Matthew 6, 1 to 8 to begin with. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Maybe we could say one thing before we continue. There should be a lot more prayer from you when no one's looking in private devotions than there ever is publicly in corporate devotions. And that should particularly be true of of ministers and elders. God help us. Well, I want to look now at verses 16 through 18 of chapter 6. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Nobody needs to know that you're fasting. Oh, there are times for public fasting as a church. We did that recently with our presbytery. There's plenty of scripture for that. But as you're fasting privately or as a family, nobody needs to know you're doing it. You can avoid having it come up. Maybe you don't go out to lunch with something on a day you're fasting with someone, so they have to say, oh, why aren't you ordering? Like, you know, nobody needs to know. Nobody should know. It needs to be secret, or it's not necessarily sincere. If you're looking for attention for your religious service, then it's not about Jesus. It's about you. Beloved, may Jesus never have these words of John 5, verse 44 for you. May he never have these words for you. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Oh, Jesus is observing ostentatious show. He sees it. He's paying attention to it, but he's not praising it. He's condemning it, as he does when he warns against it in Luke 14, verses 7 through 11. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself, shall be exalted. Proverbs 15, verse 33, and Proverbs 18, verse 12 tells us that honor comes after humility. But we always want to reverse that, and the Pharisees had it reversed. They just wanted honor, so they faked humility because they wanted the honor. And that's not real humility, so there's really no honor to be had in it, not from God. Let's look back at the most important verses here in terms of what we need to recognize Jesus is teaching us. Verses 11 and 12 of Matthew 23. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Well, those are familiar words, aren't they? He said it many times recently. If you're going to be great in my kingdom, you have to be a servant. That must be our focus, as is supported in these other scriptures. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 10. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Beloved, Maybe this sounds like it's the same sermon again and again recently over the last few chapters. Indeed, Jesus has emphasized regularly sacrificial, humble service instead of seeking to be served. He has been saying this repeatedly, almost like a broken record that keeps repeating itself. You know, we say, why do you keep telling me that? Why do you keep telling me that? Why do you keep repeating that to me all the time? Why? Because you're not doing it. Or because you keep forgetting and you keep going back to the bad thing. broken record means that the needle only goes so far and then it keeps going back. It keeps playing the same song again and again. But Jesus' message isn't broken. We are broken. You see, we keep trying to want to be humble, we go right back to being proud. We want to be humble, we keep going back to being proud. We keep wanting to serve selflessly, but then we go back and do it for selfish reasons. We are the broken record, and so Jesus keeps repeating himself because we keep repeating the same pride and vanity in why we're serving. We keep going back to selfish, self-centered ways. And Jesus earlier taught us many times to seek not to be served, but to serve. He told us before, don't be like the Gentiles, lording political authority over others. Here, now he's saying, don't be like the Jews, seeking religious glory from others. We are all in danger of returning to such vain vomit. We're always going to want to get attention by only keeping up appearances. We're always going to be in danger of wanting what gets attention for a shallow show instead of wanting not to be noticed for doing what is deep and meaningful but often never spoken of because it's simple and short and it's selfless. Charles Spurgeon says this, "The way to rise is to sink self. The lower we fall in our esteem, the higher we shall rise in our master's estimation." And beloved, that's what you and I have to care the most about, that he would truly say, well done, good and faithful servant, that we're more concerned about what Jesus says about us, truly from within and what we're doing for him, than what people say by what they see outside of us, if they know it's actually empty, or we know it's empty, or God knows it's empty of any real, humble, sacrificial love for God and man. Beloved, be like servants in the earlier days. We see sometimes, I think, in documentaries or historical dramas in England, maybe in the 1800s or earlier, the servants had secret passageways, often in these big homes and castles. They were to come out and serve their masters, and then they were to sneak back in a door of a wall that looks like the wall sometimes, or a secret passageway in a stairwell, and they had a different stairwell. They didn't use the same stairs. They had different places. They had a downstairs where they ate. It was as if they weren't there. The servants were not to speak, and they were not to be seen after serving. Essentially, you and I should be like that as we serve in the kingdom, the household of God. We just want to sneak in and out, blessing people for Christ, and go unnoticed as much as possible. Don't seek attention. Just serve silently and secretly. And again, that is the message for you this evening. You have one master, Jesus Christ. You have one father. You have one rabbi, Jesus Christ. All the glory is to go to him. Serve silently and secretly for your Savior. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do acknowledge and recognize before you that we are so often serving for the wrong reasons. And we're not even concerned to be real and true within us. We want to have the proper bumper stickers, and we want to have the right artwork on our walls with Bible verses, and we want to wear t-shirts that give a witness. But we too could be whitewashed tombs, as we'll see in the text to come of hypocrites. We too can just want people to say we're holy Christians and we're religious and give us glory and attention for trying to serve you, but not really serving you, just serving ourselves. Lord, indeed, let us die to ourselves and serve Jesus Christ. Let it not be about us. Let it be about you. Oh, Lord, humble us. Help us to humble ourselves, that you would not have to humble us in humiliation, that you would lift us up quietly to be exalted with you at your right hand, drawing all attention to you there. Lord, let us serve you and serve your people silently and secretly. Let us not be looking to have people praise us and glorify us and say things about us. Let us remember instead that
probably if we're doing it right, we'll have all kinds of things said against us badly like the prophets. So often when people are saying things about us, it's flattery for selfish motives as well, and not for really important things. Lord, let us be content to be anonymous in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Beloved, before we are dismissed from this worship service, with Christ's blessing, we'll bless him once more, singing Psalm 67 on page 133. Turn with me to page 133. Da, 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 da. Lord, bless and pity us. Shine on us with thy face, that the earth thy way and nations all may know thy saving grace. Let people praise thee, Lord. Let people all thee praise. Oh, let the nations be glad, in songs their voices raise. Thou justly people judge, on earth rule nations all. Let people praise thee, Lord, let them praise thee, both great and small. The earth her fruit shall yield. Our God shall blessing send. God shall us bless, men shall him fear unto earth's utmost end. Amen. Receive the triune blessing now over his people who humble themselves before him and seek to lift up his name. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And actually, I meant to give you this blessing. Let me give this to you as well. The double blessing will be okay, I believe. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Amen. Well, now we'll turn to our teaching and memorization time together before we conclude. And first we go to the Confession of Faith, chapter 11, on justification. And we're looking at section 2. We finished section 1 last week, so now we go to section 2. And we'll go ahead and read it together since it's our first time looking at it. We'll go ahead together on justification, chapter 11, section 2. Ready? Faith, thus receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness, is the alone instrument of justification. Yet it is not alone in the person justified, but is ever accompanied with all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but worketh by love. Okay, we'll look at the parts of that in the weeks to come, but basically it's saying, as the Reformers did, faith is alone, but saving faith is never alone. That is, faith alone justifies us, but justifying faith, saving faith, is always seen in our works. Is always seen in our works. Okay, we'll look at the parts of that in weeks to come. Let's turn now to Larger Catechism, question and answer 112. As we continue on the commandment that we're looking at in the Shorter Catechism as well, with the overlap as we go through, the third commandment, which is don't take the Lord's name in vain. He won't hold you guiltless if you do.
And we're looking at what is required in the third commandment. We're looking at that tonight as well. In the shorter catechism, be a real quick answer. The larger catechism, of course, for mature Christians, much longer. I'll read the question, we read the answer together. What is required in the third commandment? The third commandment requires that the name of God, his titles, attributes, ordinances, the word, sacraments, prayer, oaths, vows, lots, his works, and whatsoever else there is whereby he makes himself known, be holily and reverently used in thought, meditation, word, and writing, by an holy profession and answerable conversation, to the glory of God and the good of ourselves and others. Okay, tonight we're looking at the clause for letter T. Letter T reads as follows, and whatsoever else there is whereby he maketh himself known, be holily and reverently used in thought. So any other way that might not have been listed where God reveals himself in some way, we need to be reverent about how we think about it. We need to have holy thoughts about it and not be careless and callous. And so we look at the scriptures for letter T this evening. Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Wow, isn't that powerful? Our thoughts need to be holy. Our thoughts need to be reverent. But, you know, so many other things, our words and our actions really, really aren't holy because we're not thinking about the Lord enough, his name. We could go back to the series on God's names. I'd like to go back one day and make a booklet out of that for us. But you can go back to that series on sermon audio and think about all the way the Lord reveals himself by many names. And it would be such a great thing to regularly, even just daily, a few at a time, regularly think upon his name. You see this? They feared the Lord. They talked about him and they thought about his name. They meditated upon his name and what it means. You know, we're thinking about what to name our next son, and we're giving careful thought to it. We're having discussions. We want to make sure we agree and the meaning behind it and its purpose. We want to be thinking on that name and have them thinking on his name all his life, just like all our other children. And we want to be thinking about the name that the Lord reveals of himself regularly, holy and reverently. Well, we'll now turn to the shorter catechism, number 54, together. And we're looking at the same commandment. Shorter catechism 54. What is required in the third commandment? Again, not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Positively, what is required? The third commandment requireth the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word, and works. Got that okay? All right, you kids want to give it a try all together?
Yes, please.
What is required in the third commandment?
The third commandment requires the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, and words.
Word and works, yeah. Okay, so holy and reverent means respect, keeping it separate and special, right? A respectful way we speak about God's names and all the names that he's given, including things like God. We don't use the word God in a careless way. Also his titles, including the title Father. We don't use his names or the title Christ. Many people use that name in vain along with his first name. We speak carefully with all the ways he's named himself. Attributes, careful not to say, oh my goodness, or other things, or oh my word, or well that comes later, or holy something, because his attributes are about him, and to be careful about how we speak about his attributes and not carelessly other places keeps him elevated and exalted before our eyes. Also ordinances, that is his commands. We don't say, oh, I don't want to do that, or I don't care if I have to do those commands. That's not an issue of salvation. It has nothing to do with whether it's an issue of salvation. We are saved to serve Jesus Christ. We are saved to glorify him.
And we glorify him and love him by keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome to us. So we want to know whatever he commands of us and to do it, not because we try to earn salvation, we never could, simply because he has told us so. And when we treat his commands seriously, we treat him seriously as the lawgiver. His word, the Bible, we don't make jokes. Too many times people use the word to make stupid jokes. And we don't want to say, oh, my word. We want to pray. His word is out of his mouth. It's written by the Holy Spirit. We want to revere it. We don't want to worship it. We don't want to hold up a Bible or worry if it hits the floor, that kind of thing. It'd be superstitious. But his word, as written down and as it's preached and read, we should approach it carefully. When we have family worship, even if we're tired, we want to be careful about how we sit. We want to be careful about how we listen, to show respect. Just as if Jesus was right here with us, we would be sitting up carefully listening to everything he had to say. And then also his works. Again, his works of providence, his works of redemption. We want to think high thoughts about all that God has done. His works of creation, be impressed with all that he does, all that he's doing. We want to be thinking carefully and wholly about it and speaking well of it. Well, the Bible verse, the memory verse here, has some similarities to Revelation we read tonight. Don't add, don't take away, do what I say. But we're going to look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 58, Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. I might need a little help to get started. If thou wilt not keep, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Thanks. Sometimes I just need help getting started. You guys want to try? Deuteronomy 28, 58.
If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God.
So we see here what's, I think, maybe emphasized is that we would do his commandments. If you won't do everything I've told you to do in my word, then you are showing you don't take me seriously and you don't respect me. And you and I do not want God to say that to us. Everything I command you do because I am God. And when you show you're willing to do simply because I say so. You see, that was the test in the garden, right? Adam and Eve. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It could have been something else. It could have been don't walk on this side of the road. It could have been any commandment. It was a bit arbitrary in the sense that it was just to see, will you obey me simply because I'm God and you are not? And so this has a respect for God's commands and also his word, that we would think about them, that we'd want to know them, we'd want to think about how they reflect him, and that as we obey them, we reflect that we are his. Okay. I think that's really all plenty to say for tonight. Let's look at our scripture for next time. Malachi chapter 2, verse 2, for shorter catechism 55. And the shorter prophets are always difficult to pass right by, but it's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 2, verse 2. Let's read together. This is the word of the Lord. Let's approach it with holy reverence and careful thought. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. So laying it to heart is that same idea as thinking that we read about earlier. Laying it to heart, thinking upon God's name. If we won't think, lay to heart his name and take it to heart. You know, sometimes we talk about, you haven't really taken it to heart. There's not a sincere, deep concern in thinking. May we concern, have a true, holy concern of God's name. May it be on our heart. May he put these things on our heart, that we wouldn't sin against him and instead lift up his name. Well, with that, we're going to close our time together this evening. We thank you all for being with us. If there were more interruptions, would you please text us or send us an email and let us know what you experienced? if this application generally is working better, I want to switch to it so that I can record with it at the same time instead of using two phones. It's a little distracting, and then sometimes one phone dies or something. So if you have anything to share with us to know, that would be helpful for us as we keep analyzing how to do it best. Hopefully, we won't need you to tell us very long, much longer, although the best tool we get together, maybe we'll still use this when we go back to public worship, or at least when somebody's sick, we can broadcast live so that they can watch with us. So any feedback you have about how the tool is working, it's a different application only tonight, would be very helpful to know. Okay, and that would be even with quality of audio and video. Okay, well, that being said, thank you for being with us. God bless you. God bless your week. And we're praying for you regularly and love to hear from you. And we need to try to be communicating with you a little bit more. As you know from what we shared this morning, we've been pretty busy. But we want to get back in touch with you more and hopefully soon face-to-face in corporate worship. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this evening together. And as we prepare for the Sabbath to go down with the setting of the sun and preparing for the next day, we pray that we have truly worshiped you and rested in you in Jesus Christ, and that you would indeed bless us with Christ in our heart and the Spirit, and enable us to think more about you and to lay heart more about your names, to meditate on who you are, that we would love you more, just as when we think about a name of our spouse or our children, or even how we care about our own name, there's an aspect of appreciation and respect and love, especially as we think of others. So, Lord, let us love to think upon your names and what it reveals about you and what that reveals about how you bless us as our covenant God and relationship and love with us. Lord, send out your people with a blessing. And we thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Help us to love you more and our neighbor as ourself better, and especially our brethren. And help us, O Lord, to do all these things simply because you are our Savior and we are your servants, thankful to be alive and have a life to live in service to you, not needing any accolades or recognition, but to give all of that glory up to you, casting our crowns at your feet. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have a wonderful evening. God bless you.